The jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m., here on Global Star Radio Network, as well as YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. And you can watch us live on YouTube every night, but the Global Star is our home base for broadcasting. I am Joe Hagman. My co-host Doug Hagman is in the meetings tonight, so he won't be with us tonight, but he is okay and probably worse off at the meetings sitting through that stuff than having to be here with our great guest tonight. I'm a private investigator and the other half of our father-son radio show host team that we have, which is fantastic. My dad was on Alex Jones today. For those of you who missed it, it was the second hour, I believe, of a show, and it was a fantastic job. I was in the background there, and we had a lot of fun, and the broadcast went well. So it's great to have each and every one of you here. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. The title of the show, An Evil Tree Cannot Bear Good Fruit, with Greg Jackson and with Coach Dave Dobemeyer. Greg Jackson is the author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die. I've got a copy of his book right here. And this is a great book, a treasure trove of truth for children and parents, just as it says on the back. Fantastic book. And Coach Dave, ptsalt.com, passassalt.com. Also, go to his YouTube as well. You can go to News with Views and check out the latest messages. Specifically, the one from yesterday, which is what we're going to be getting into today. We do have Coach with us, as well as Greg. I'm going to introduce Coach Dave and bring him on. Coach, it's great to have you back on the show.
Joe, my goodness, it's been quite a while. I don't even know how long it's been, and always enjoy being on with you guys. And as always, man, appreciate everything that you guys bring to the table.
Well, it's great to have you on, and we appreciate having you with us. And you know, everything you do, you're on the front lines daily. And not only that, you've been making a lot more YouTube videos and reaching out there. And it's just great to be able to wake up and to turn on your YouTube channel and get a quick message of hope. And then, you know, doing the hangouts with other people, listeners.
Actually, Joe, it's been about a month now. I started a 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time program called Pass Assault. It's, you know, they can catch it on they can go to coachdave.tv, coachdave.tv. They can catch it on every morning at 7 o'clock. We have a new show comes up there. It's live from my studio. It's not as polished as what you guys are now with your great upgrade and everything. But brother, I'm telling you something. We get a panel of guys that come in, and it's interactive. I don't want to call it radio because we're doing it, you know, we do video, but you can watch it on YouTube. It's interactive. And I tell you, buddy, we have really been busting it. And I would just encourage everybody, not because I'm doing it, but I believe you really be fed. Go to coachdave.tv. In fact, Joe, I did a show this morning on the 4th. This is the 4th of March. But, man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was really, really there. And I think, you know, a lot of people were listening to the show tonight. You know, they're Internet junkies like me. They listen to good stuff on the Internet rather than the TV. And I would just tell you, they ought to all make time to try to listen to that show that we did this morning. Again, it's at coachdave.tv, coachdave.tv, and it's the March 4th. And they're all good, Joe. The March 3rd one was good. And we're talking about stuff that's really, really relevant to where we are, more than just political, but the spiritual component to what is, I believe, is going on around us as we fight this battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
And that, you know, that's awesome, and that's what's missing, you know, in all the media outlets, it seems, is the spiritual aspect and connections as to what's going on. When you try to do a show, especially a political show, you cannot separate what's happening in the political world from what's going on in the spiritual world. And people would like to do that. They try to do that. Unfortunately, they're too interrelated, and they cannot be separated. And
but see, Joe, that's the problem that we have, I believe, with our churches. I believe much of what we've done is I call compartmentalized Christianity. You know, your Christianity applies to you, your personal life, your finances, your health, your children, all that stuff that you know involves our everyday living. But we don't understand the greater aspect of the. In Genesis, God said He'd put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we don't understand this spiritual battle, this wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, that's going on every day in America. Joe, this battle is bigger than the devil and Joe Hagman. It's bigger than just the devil against Coach Dave. It's bigger than that. It's about principalities and powers. It's about the evil one trying to seize positions of authority, those evil spirits in high places. And if we look at what's going on politically, and we look at what's going on in the White House, we look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we eliminate the spiritual dynamic that's this invisible world, this invisible realm that is influencing everything that's going on. Joe, if we eliminate that, none of this stuff's going to make sense to us.
You're exactly right. And also with us tonight is author Greg Jackson. Again, he's the author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, a fantastic book, reaching the hearts of so many and allowing parents a way to help explain to their children spiritual principles in the Bible that are sound. And just I would recommend anybody who's a parent that would like to teach their children not only these principles, but, you know, this could be the beginning, laying the foundation of a biblical relationship with you and your kids. And it's important that they get this information and understand it. With that, Greg Jackson, welcome back to the show.
Joe, it's always an honor and a pleasure being on the Hagman and Hagman Report. And I just want to say for Coach Dave, good to be on the air with you, brother.
Amen. I've never met. We've bantered back and forth for probably 10 years. We've never met eyeball to eyeball, and we're going to do that for the first time when we go to Dallas. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. Hey, Greg, if I can say this real quick.
Go ahead.
You know, a lot of people have tuned in right now, and I'll tune in sometimes, and got a lot of stuff going on. You know, it's 7 o'clock here where I live. There's a lot of stuff happening around me at 7 o'clock, and I tune in, and, you know, you listen to the guests, and you just try to figure out, Lord, is this really something, you know, do I have time to focus on this tonight? Folks, I'm telling you, listen, don't turn this off. Just don't turn this off. I'm telling you, this is going to be an eye-opening give and take tonight that I think that you're going to be glad you listened to.
Well, yeah, I want to echo that, Coach. And, yeah, you and I have known each other for many years. I was on your show in Ohio a number of times, and I've interviewed you when I was on the radio in Boston and Los Angeles. And we're finally going to meet, Coach. We're going to meet in a couple weeks at the Hear the Watchman conference. We're going to be talking a little bit more about that, because that is going to be a spectacular event, must-attend event. But I did want to say, Coach, just to echo what Coach is saying about your YouTube channel, and not to be too forward and promotional, but folks, start your day off listening to Coach Dave. It's an hour. You can listen live, or it's archived as well. I'm telling you, give it a shot. Go to CoachDave.tv. Check out some of the stuff that he's doing in the morning, because if you want it, without cream and sugar, just straight black, with a couple shots of espresso in it, maybe even 8 shots of espresso in it, and you want no nonsense, biblical based truth, you're going to get it from Coach Dave. And the thing is, it's going to enable you to understand the somewhat confusing or very confusing times to many that we're living in. It's going to give you clarity. It's going to enable you to not be confused. And Coach, you have a number of great men that you've assembled around you that's part of that show. I love the format. So start your day with Coach, finish your day with Joe and Doug, and That's really all you need. I mean, I know that there's some other good shows out there. But I do want to echo what you said, Coach, in terms of not missing this show and to stay tuned in, because this is going to be, I think, vital for people to understand the times in which we're living in and to not be confused. Because I don't know about you, Coach, and Joe, but you know, I meet people all the time that say, man, I've never seen anything like this. This thing is so confusing to me, and I don't even know what to think. Should I support Trump? Should I not support Trump? Should I support Cruz? I mean, we're seeing a dynamic, I think, that you guys would both agree that we've never seen in our lifetime, at least in this political election. But Coach and I were talking earlier, and it's more than just the political season. It's more than just the presidential election that we're going to be talking about tonight. It's because there's some bigger spiritual truths, and Coach had a video that I would heavily recommend everybody watching. I think a couple weeks ago, Coach called an evil tree cannot bear good fruit. The show you did on Salt and Light on your radio show, and it really compelled me, and I immediately called you, Coach, and talked about how it opened my eyes to a lot of political realities and, most importantly, spiritual realities. Helped me to understand exactly what's taking place before our very eyes right now. And I think that it's important for listeners around the United States and around the world to really to get a more in-depth understanding of what exactly Donald Trump and all the rest of the players represent, because I think God is doing something, wouldn't you agree, Coach, that is much bigger than just an election. I think that there's much more to this story, and when you see it in living color and in context and you see it with a biblical point of view and lens, I believe that it will clear up a lot of things for a lot of people. Don't you agree, Coach?
Well, not only that, Greg, this may be a shock to your listeners, but I did some research today, and I found out, without a shadow of a doubt, God is not an American, and he's not a Republican. I know that's a shock, but he really isn't. And everything that's going on, see, we are so compartmentalized, especially we Americans. We're so compartmentalized, and we're focused on what's going on in America, and we don't understand. We don't, for whatever reason, we're not being taught in our churches to look outside this natural realm in which we live and understand the larger battle that's going on in the heavenlies. The scriptures are very clear to us, Joe and Greg, and Doug, when you get a chance to listen to this tomorrow, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Now let's just stop right there a second. What is a high place? What is it when Paul wrote that in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places? We take the gospel, we take this spiritual war, and we grind it down and we compress it down, and it becomes just about little old me and my family and the environment in which I live. And although that all is significant and is important, it's just a smaller piece of a larger scheme that's being played out before us. And I like to use this picture. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let's just stop there a minute, Joe. What does that mean? We are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Evidently, there is a realm around us. I like to use the illustration. We're in a big fish tank. I like to go to the aquarium here at the Columbus Ohio Zoo. And I walk in there, and you can see those hammerhead sharks, and you can see all those big fish in there, and they're all swimming around, and they don't even see you. They don't even know that you're there because they are in their own world. They think that little tank or that big tank they're in, they think that's the world. They have no idea that my five-year-old granddaughter's outside looking in, making faces at them. They can't even see her. Well, we are encompassed about, we are in a tank. We are in an earth tank. And we are encompassed about with a spiritual realm that we're not able to see it. We don't even understand. and that this, we think where we are, right where I am here in the Columbus, Ohio area, that this is the world. And brother, the thing is so much bigger. And this battle that's going on is a universal, worldly battle. It's far more immense than what we can even understand. And if we don't open our eyes and understand what's going on around us, then we think the battle's just a political battle, just a Republican against a Democrat, just Donald Trump against Ted Cruz. If we get stuck in that paradigm, in that little fish tank, if that's all we see, we're never going to be able to see the larger picture that's going on around us.
Yeah, I totally agree, Coach. You know, and it's funny, because you and I were talking earlier about our past, right, and how we crossed paths years ago. Me and you know, when my first book came out, Conservative Comeback to Liberal Lies, it became kind of a sensation. I got to that, it gained me access into a lot of these conservative circles on Fox News and on a lot of radio shows nationwide, and then having my own show in Boston and emceeing the Conservative Political Action Conference and introducing the presidential candidates and feeling kind of self-important and like one of the cool kids on the block in a lot of ways. And also, I think having some involvement in some of the circles that you ran into, Coach, in terms of the pro-family, pro-life, para-church organizations, and having contact with some of those leaders, the Phyllis Schlafly's of the world, and you know, people from American Right to Life and others, and the movers and shakers. And my eyes were really opened a couple of years back, probably I'd say around 2008. And what I realized at that point in time, thanks be to God, Coach, that I had been guilty of elevating the flag. You just recently said earlier that God is not an American. You've done your research, but I always thought he was. In many ways, I was guilty
of a Republican, right, Greg?
And a Republican as well. I mean, my worldview was the more Republicans we can elect to office, the more Republican nominees we can put on the Supreme Court, the better off. That's the answer to all of America's problems. In short, I was guilty of elevating the flag above the cross. And I think that, you know, I was caught, like a lot of people are, in that Hegelian dialectic, that false right-left paradigm. And even though the Republican Party was not always the way it is right now, Coach, I think you would agree, and Joe, you and I talked about this earlier. If you really look at it honestly, and if you look at it, I think, through a biblical lens, the help of the Holy Spirit, you will see that these are two wings of the same bird, two sides of the same coin, which is why they hate Trump so much. Because Trump isn't part of the cool kids' inner sanctum. So when you have your eyes open, you realize that all these years that you've been voting for the Republicans, for the most part, and not seeing any change, and then being confused, and then, what is it, wash, spin, and repeat every 4 years. We fall for the same banana in the tailpipe trick every 4 years, and the same people tell us you got to vote Republican, lesser of two evils, the same stuff, and we wonder, well, why, after all of the millions of dollars and time and effort in electing Republicans and all this thing, why is the United States of America so radically to the left in virtually every area of society and culture? Why are the schools more pagan? Why are there still 4,000 abortions per day? Why is homosexuality being mainstreamed in America? Why is the government broke? Why is it that our borders are porous and wide open? Why is it that the morality in general, and the violence and the sex that's being promulgated from Hollywood and in our media around the world, why are we the number one disseminator of all of that filth? And the answer, I believe, Coach, and this is really kind of what we're going to be focusing on today, is when you realize that it's the same tree, it's the same evil, idolatrous tree that has spawned both the Republican and Democrat Party. I know some people, this is going to ruffle some feathers, because people are very protective of their Republican Party and their affiliations. By the way, I'm not saying, I've voted mostly Republican most of my adult life. I'm not saying that if you vote Republican, you're evil, you're bad, you're going to hell. But what I am saying is that once you understand what Coach has been trying to, that you've said in the video, regarding an evil tree not being able to bear fruit, when you recognize and acknowledge the fact that if we're going to be honest, Coach, we have to recognize that if you look at the fruit of the Republican tree, you have to acknowledge it. And if you agree that it is indeed evil, then we have to go to the words of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? An evil tree cannot bear good fruit. Coach, you opened my eyes to this. If the Republican political tree that's responsible for funding Obamacare, fully funding Obamacare, funding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million per year, putting Republican nominees on the Supreme Court, like Justice Roberts, who is the deciding vote in Obamacare, having a Republican majority continue to fund all of the filth and all of the immorality that is spawned out of Washington, D.C. And if we understand, if we realize that the Republican Party is responsible for that, and that it is, and by the way, I'm not saying rank and file voters, Coach and Joe.
No.
I'm saying that if we agree, if we're all in agreement tonight, that if we look at the fruit of the Republican Party lying to us time after time after time, using evangelical Christians like the Democrat Party uses blacks to get them out to the polls, to get them in power, to get them elected, if we just do an honest assessment and say, what have we gotten out of this? Nothing. We've been used and abused like a battered wife. And shame on us if we continue to bury our head in the sand and continue to take it. And so I think that when you recognize that this tree is evil, I mean, look, Mitt Romney in the last election was no different than Barack Obama, and I made the case that he was actually worse. Barack Obama didn't institute same-sex marriage as governor of Massachusetts. Barack Obama didn't institute RomneyCare, which is socialist health care that complete with taxpayer-funded $50 copay abortion on demand. That was Mitt Romney. It wasn't Barack Obama that forced Catholic Charities to place children with homosexual and lesbian couples. It wasn't Barack Obama that forced Catholic hospitals to issue abortifacients. That was Mitt Romney. And yet, what were we told, Coach and Joe, 4 years ago? You gotta vote for Romney, and if you don't, vote for the lesser of two evils, even though he's a pro-abort, pro-sodomite, big government, fifth generation high priest of an anti-Christical cult that was made millions of dollars off a Stericycle, which is an abortion incinerator company. For those of you who aren't familiar with Stericycle, Mitt Romney made millions of dollars. We were told if we didn't vote for Mitt Romney, then we were responsible for Barack Obama, the lesser of two. And this is what we're told every 4 years with John McCain and George Bush and Mitt Romney and now whoever whoever the Republicans nominate. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves tonight, we have to make a decision. If we agree that the Republican Party and their fruit is evil, then we have to come to the conclusion, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, that whoever they nominate will be evil as well.
Greg, if I could, I just sense in my spirit, I just want to pray here a second, if I could. Before I pray, I know people that are listening, right? I want people to understand this. I'm active politically. I believe in being involved in the political process. I go out every day and I fight for truth and justice in the American way. I do that. I've dedicated my life to that. So I'm not in any way telling us that we need to pull back or not be part of it. I'm not saying that. but I sense that maybe some people are getting that in their spirit. That's why I want to just pray about this just a second. Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight tonight, Lord. And we pray that you said that your word will not return void, but it will perform that which you sent it to do. And Father, just pray for open eyes, the eyes of understanding and enlightenment would come to people, that we may see and know and understand, Lord. You told us we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, Lord Jesus. We just pray that that you would anoint our words and anoint the ears tonight in Jesus' name. Let's go to the word real quick. I like to do that. I go back, Doug and Joe, or Greg and I'm all used to Doug being there. I go back about 5 years ago, 4 years. I can't remember when it was for sure. I was with our friend, mutual friend Alan Keyes, and I'm not name dropping. I know Alan Keyes, and Mitt Romney was running, and it was about this time of the year, I think. And I said, hey, Alan, what's going on, man? Because Alan used to be part of the Republican Party, you know. He was in those debates. He was a mover and a shaker in the Republican Party. And I said, hey, Alan, what's going on, man? What's going on behind the scenes here in the political party? And I'll never forget what he said to me. And it didn't really resonate and hit home until just in the last 3 or 4 months it came home to me. Alan said to me, well, Coach, this is very simple. An evil tree cannot give good fruit. That is in John 7. And if those of you who have a Bible, you'd want to open it or make a note and write it down, you can check it later. I want to share this with you because I think it's so critical we see this. John 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. These words are in red for even those red-letter Christians. You shall know them by their fruit. Do not men gather grapes of thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And then he repeats it, verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Ask yourself this very simple question. Is the Republican Party a good tree or a bad tree? Well, it was very simple. I mean, I didn't even have to say, I didn't fall into that trap, Joe. I didn't fall into that trap that everybody talks about. Oh, well, it's better than the Democrat tree. That's better than it. Well, that isn't even the question. That's not even the question. The Democrat tree is an evil tree. We can see that. But so is the Republican tree. And look what they have done to us in the Republican tree. Come on now. They've taken those of us who carry the name of Christ, and they've changed our name. That's right, brothers. They have changed our name. You go to the app, you turn on Fox News, you turn on CNN, you turn on any of the pundits, you turn on Limbaugh, and you turn them on. I don't care who it is. I was reading a post tonight from our mutual friend Greg Steve Dace, talking about conservatives this and conservatives that, and this guy's more conservative and that guy's more conservative. Don't you understand that we have sacrificed, we have traded the name above all name, Christian, for conservative? We've changed an identity, a Christian, for an ideology. We're no longer Christians, we're conservatives. And isn't it amazing? They're having that CPAC thing going on in Washington, D.C. I think it's in Washington, D.C., going on tonight. And what is it? It's conservatives. And you walk into that room, Greg, you've been there. You know brother better than anybody else. You go in there, and there's all kinds of conservatives. There's social conservatives and fiscal conservatives and military conservatives and educational conservatives. There are conservatives everywhere you look, different kinds of conservatives. Well, brother, I am not a conservative. I'm a Christian. But see, they make me change my name from Christian to conservative. And what do, Greg? They graft me into that evil tree. I become a branch on the tree. I become that evangelical branch on that evil Republican tree. How do I know that evil? How do I know that tree is evil? Because there are pro-choice Republicans. In fact, there's a limb, there's a branch right beside that evangelical tree, right on the other side of the trunk. Over here on the left side of the trunk is a conservative Christian branch. And then right over on the other side, the right side of the trunk, there is a log cabin conservative branch. And we're foolish enough to think that we have taken the original tree, the only good tree, Christ, the root of Christianity, and we have taken that tree and we have stuck it in the closet, and we've identified ourselves as conservatives, and we've come and we've connected ourselves to this evil tree. And here we sit, brothers. In 2016, we had a Republican revolution. In 2014, and a Republican revolution in 2000, whenever it was, those midterm elections, and we changed the House and we changed the Congress, and we are so foolish that we have failed to recognize Christ's own admonition that Republican tree is an evil tree and it cannot bear good fruit. And what are we trying to do, Greg? Joe, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get our guy sitting on top of the tree. We think if we can just get Ted Cruz sitting up at the top of that tree, everything will be okay. Ted Cruz, if he can get up there, if he can be in that catbird seat, well, then that Republican Party, all of a sudden, that will become a godly party. That'll be good because we'll have a godly man sitting up in the treetops. Brothers, that's not what the Word says. The Word says that an evil tree cannot bear good fruit. And I see a lot of my Christian brothers, and I love Steve Dace. I didn't mean to pick on him. Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, you name it. Brothers, they're conservatives. They're not Christians.
That's right.
Unfortunately, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we've substituted it. We've dropped our guard. We've dropped our name, our identity. And we've associated ourselves with an ideology. And as we begin to unlock this over the next couple hours, I'm going to show you why I think one of the reasons I think Donald Trump is making. I think there's a message for us about Donald Trump if we will open our eyes and see it, guys. An evil tree cannot bear good fruit. Hey, we have Jesus' word on that. It's not one of the commandments, but when the Lord speaks a principle to you, a truism to you, it's a truism. Why are we wasting so much time and effort and energy trying to make this evil tree produce good fruit? Hey, Greg, you've been at it as long as I have. How much time and effort have we put in trying to Christianize this Republican Party?
Yeah, a lot of time. And Joe, I did hear you try to chime in. Did you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to read from your book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, on chapter 28, The Lesser of Two Evils is Still Evil. And it's very short. You write this: the world says that we must choose the lesser of two evils when faced with two imperfect choices. But God says that we must never do evil that good may come of it, Romans chapter 3, verse 8. Charles Spurgeon, the most famous theologian of the last 300 years, famously said, "When faced with two evils, choose neither." While you may be ridiculed for not going along with the crowd or for not supporting the lesser of two evils, you can sleep soundly and with a clear conscience, knowing that when you stand up with God in opposition to all evil, you are always acting in obedience to Him. Blessed are they who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. Psalm 119, verse 2.
So, Joe, we believe lies. I'm sorry, Greg. Let me spit this out. We believe lies.
Go ahead, Coach.
We believe lies. See, we ought to have a Christian party. There ought to be a Christian party that these other conservatives are begging to become part of. We should not be taking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, mixing it with republicanism, and compromising on the word of God. How long are we going to allow abortion, child sacrifice, to continue in this nation and believe that this evil tree is going to end it? It's not going to end it. Jesus said he would build a church and the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, but the gates of hell will prevail against the Republican Party. Brother, I can promise you it will. Why? Because an evil tree cannot bear good fruit.
Yeah, and Coach, I want to echo what you were saying and earlier, which is that I don't think either of us are saying don't be involved in the political process, obviously.
Of course not.
Christians, of course, should be active and standing for office and electing godly men and women to public office as civil magistrates who fulfill a biblical mandate that's outlined in the Bible, most notably in Romans 13, to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And Christians who are involved in the political process and pastors who talk about involvement in the political process, which we'll get to that later, Coach, because I know that that's that's something that not a lot of pastors, unfortunately, do, which is why we're in this mess in large part. But the pastors who are involved in teaching about how to be involved politically, unfortunately, Coach, believe this lie of the separation of church and state, the secular from the sacred. And unfortunately, Romans 13 the Holy Spirit through Paul commands believers that we are not to submit to, or that we should submit to the governing authorities. But that's been manipulated and distorted by the church, especially, to mean that we have to put up with, we have to tolerate as Christians, we have to turn the other cheek, and whatever it is that those that are in government, the ruling authorities, decide, whether legislatively or by judicial fiat through issuance of court opinions, we just have to turn the other cheek and accept it, because after all, we have to be submissive and we have to to surrender to the governing and ruling authorities as per Romans chapter 13. But the truth is that Paul was writing his epistle to the church in Rome, probably the greatest political treatise ever written, and he was writing to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling them that they should obey godly government. It was assumed, it was implied, that the governing authorities, those in positions of authority, were ruling in accordance, in obedience to the Scriptures, rewarding the righteous, punishing the wicked. And yet we have it turned around in our country. And I think that this is why the Republican Party has been able to fool so many Christians. Because Christians have failed for many years to think biblically about our involvement in the political arena. You know, Coach, you just said something that was very, very insightful. You said we should have a Christian party. Yeah, why don't we have a Christian party? We should have a Christian. I mean, if we're going to be Christians, we shouldn't act like Christians. We should be Christians. And that's, and right. Neither you nor I are proponents of dominionism or the Seven Mountain Mandate or ushering in the second coming of Jesus by moralizing and instituting Christianity in every realm of society. But our Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to be salt and light, to fight for truth and righteousness, to defend the innocent, to share the gospel. And he didn't tell us to compartmentalize that. Jesus never compartmentalized his faith when speaking with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of his day and the politicians and the scribes, nor should we. And I think that that's what you're talking about, Coach. And what's so important is that we have an understanding that when we became Christians and received forgiveness for our sins and eternal life in heaven forever, when we were born again by the Spirit, We were called to live out our Christian faith in every area of our lives and to not hide our lights under a bushel in any area of our lives.
And
what's happened is
have nothing to do with the unfruitful works
of
darkness.
Amen.
Have nothing to do with them, right? The Republican Party is a evil tree where it has listen, folks, I'm trying to get us to understand this. We're going to be right here again in 4 years. We never learn our lesson. We never, ever learn the lesson. It was McCain that would save us. Then it was Romney that would save us. This time it'll be Cruz. It'll be Trump. They'll save us. And we're going to be here 4 years from now playing the same game over and over if we don't wake up, open our eyes, and understand that the oldest trick in the book has been to divide and conquer, and that there are good, God-fearing people who are part of that other tree. They're part of that Democrat tree, which is evil, and we think there's evil for being part of the Democrat Party, but we don't realize that we're grafted into something that is just as evil, into a political system, rather than coming out from among them and being separate and touching not the unclean thing and starting a party or having a representation of godly people all joining together under godly values. We wouldn't be in this mess. Now, here's what came. Folks, I know this sounds radical. I'm sorry. I just know that I know that I know that what I'm speaking to you is the truth. I just watched last week, all this week, 2 weeks now, of the attacks on Trump from political leaders. And I understand why. I do understand why. But see, the Bible tells us that some men trust in horses, some men trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And Christians, for whatever reason, we have put our trust in politicians. We're not trusting in the hand of the Lord to move. We're trusting that we can elect Ted Cruz, and then Ted Cruz can get that evil tree to bear good fruit. We have misplaced our loyalties. And so I've been watching all of this coming out. All these people, I'm not voting for Trump. How can you vote for Trump? Hearing it from all these religious leaders. And I watched down in South Carolina when the evangelical vote was totaled up. And 46% of evangelicals voted for Trump. More of them voted for Trump than for Ted Cruz, the clear evangelical candidate. More of them voted for Donald Trump. I said, Lord, how can that be? And then I watched all these pastors come out, and they talked about, oh, he's an adulterer, and he's been married 3 times, and he bragged about having sex, and he's ripped off companies, and all this stuff, all these things are coming out, and I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. Where have you been? Where have you been speaking out against Obama? That evil tree, that evil man sitting on top of that tree. Hey, where have you been, Pastor? Where were you, Pastor, back in 2010 when you convinced us to vote for a Mormon? Mormons aren't Christians. Oh, he's a moral guy. Oh, he's conservative, I suppose. But you didn't have any problem convincing Christians to lock arms with those who are of a different tree. You didn't have any trouble telling that. But now all of a sudden you're telling us here that Donald Trump, a lost, non-born-again Presbyterian, he claims to be a Christian. You're telling us he's not worthy of our vote, but Mitt Romney was? Barack Obama was? That this man who's lost and is loyal to himself only because he's never had his eyes enlightened, claiming to be a Presbyterian, he is less worthy of our vote than Mitt Romney, who wears secret underwear and believes that Lucifer and Jesus were brothers, believe that we're going to have our own planet? Are you kidding me? And so what's happened to us, again, rather than trusting in the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. By the way, that must tell us there's other kings. If he's the King of Kings, there must be other ones. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And rather than Jesus and his body rising up and fighting against these forces of darkness, we stick Jesus in our back pocket, become conservatives, and vote for un-Christian leadership. Well, hey, an evil tree cannot give good fruit. So you say, right now you say, oh my goodness, I can hear your head spinning. Oh, coach, whoa, wait a minute, wait, coach. What do we do here? We can't get Hillary. We can't get Hillary. That's, boy, that's been the, has that been the battle cry for 15 years? Oh, we can't have that other guy. We can't have that other guy. When the Lord himself is trying to get us to see that his body, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. This is not about dominionism, but this is about God's children, his body, being the seat of government, his authority being the seat of government. But we've yielded that authority. Pastors have pulled back. They haven't taken the authority. They said politics is dirty business. And every once in a while they pop their head up like a groundhog on February 2nd, look out, and they vote Republican, and then they go back underground. In South Carolina, we saw the results of it. They popped their heads up. Say, hey, oh my goodness, everybody vote for Ted Cruz. And the people said, where you been? Religion, politics are separate. Don't tell me who I'm supposed to vote for. And so the problem, brothers, it ain't Donald Trump. The problem's us. The problem's Christians. We're the problem. But I got a hopeful message for you as the program continues to unfold.
Coach, well said. Very well said. You know, I do want to reiterate that the goal here of this program in the next few hours should be, or hopefully will be, to help illuminate and open people's eyes to what you and I have experienced in our own lives, Coach, and what the Holy Spirit has impressed upon us, so that people will be freed of, I don't know, being inside the matrix, and to understand that there is hope out. Because I run into a lot of people, Coach. I mean, look, I've received the most vicious emails from friends and people because that I know that I'm not on the Ted Cruz. I'm not a supporter of Ted Cruz. Number one, I don't think he's eligible to be president. And number two, you know, there's a lot of things that concern me. Many of those things have been discussed on this show with regards to his affiliations with Goldman Sachs and taking a $1 million loan.
He's conservative, Greg.
Yep.
He's conservative.
But he's conservative. Yeah, that's what we were told. And yet, if he were conservative, if he were truly conservative, at least from the classical definition of conservatism, in terms of being 100% pro-life and pro-marriage, and I mean, look, we could go all the way down the list on Ted Cruz nominating an open homosexual to the bench, to the federal bench in Texas. We could talk about the fact that he's still, and you've been privy to some of these emails, he still would not promise and pledge, like Tom Hoefling, who's running for the Constitution Party, America's Party. He's been on the Hagman Show. He's a friend of ours, a very honorable man. He, unlike Huckabee and Hoefling, has never pledged that if he was elected president that he would enforce the 5th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution and end the abortion holocaust in America. I mean, how could we have any serious, Coach, conversation at any debate or any venue when discussing who's going to be the president of the United States without even broaching the topic of the fact that 60 million babies have died in the United States of America with the full consent and funding of the federal government? How can
it's
we have
simple,
any...
Greg.
Go ahead.
Greg, it's simple. An evil tree cannot produce good fruit. Wake
Trivia
up,
question,
church.
Coach.
Wake up, people. An evil tree cannot produce good fruit. And it's not a comparison of the lesser of two evils. That's not what it's even all about. People are voting for Ted Cruz because he's conservative. He's conservative. What does that mean? Trump's conservative. Homos are Boehner is conservative. Ryan's conservative.
My mom claimed that she's my mom the other day claimed she was conservative, Coach.
Pardon me?
My mom, who voted for Obama, claimed a couple weeks ago when I talked to her on the phone she was conservative.
Everybody's conservative. Everybody's conservative. Brother, I'm not conservative. I'm Christian. I'm a Christian man. I'm going to run up that Christian flag and try to get those to come with me. Let's lift up Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Not Reince Priebus. Not Donald Trump. Not Ted Cruz or Mark Rubio or John Kasich. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? But see, Greg, we're stuck, aren't we? Because we're six, seven months away from a decision having to be made here. 6 or 7 months. Hey, brothers, listen. Joe, I know you know this, and I know that the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report know this. America's a captured nation. This isn't a Christian nation. This is a captured nation that we're living in right now. And we had better begin to take a good perspective. You may think it's Christian. My aunt may think it's Christian. My sister might think it's Christian. My pastor and everybody in my church may think it's Christian. Brothers, this is not a Christian nation anymore. This is not a Christian nation. And the sooner we come to that realization that it is not a Christian nation, I believe our plan of attack will change.
Amen, Coach.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, what if this was established as a Christian nation, or regardless, the morals of the people who were here, who founded this country, who continued the growth of this country, up until the, you know, introducing of the, you know, TV, radio, and the outside voices started to come in, we saw the subversion of morals, and as the morality continued to degenerate here in this country, so did the rights of the people, or the supposed rights, and it goes hand in hand, you know, as the last, if any, morals are left.
They told us there was a separation between the church and state, right? They removed Christ from all of politics, and we allowed him to be removed from all of politics. And we see what's going on, and we see the problems, and we understand that the problems in America, they're not political, they're moral. And the only one that can change these moral problems is Christ, is the only hope, the only answer. And who are we trusting in? We're trusting in Republicans! As if they can do it. Jesus said that he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against his church, which tells me it's a victorious church. It's going to conquer hell. It's going to conquer hell. But the Republican Party cannot conquer hell. They're not ordained to do that. They're a bad tree. We have taken the power of the gospel of Jesus, of his body of Christ, and we have taken that power and we have done nothing more than grafting it in to the evil Republican tree, the moral majority, and Jerry Falwell, and all of that. And here we are 44 years later, still killing babies, hoping that Ted Cruz will get in there and maybe change it for us. God help us.
You know, we're going to get into it in the second hour. I know we're heading to a break, Joe.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear, I'd love for you to share, Coach, your interpretation and take on the appeal of Donald Trump, because I think it's very interesting, and I think there's a bigger spiritual component to all of this in the second hour. But I want to make it clear that neither you nor I, Coach, are trying to describe a problem without providing a solution, and I
That's
think
right,
that
there. I'm going to vote for a Republican. I am, but that's not the solution to our problem.
No, but there is a solution, and I think the thing from my heart, Coach, is that, and the reason that I look forward to doing this program tonight is because I think there's a lot of people that are scared, and they lose track of the bigger picture. Maybe they watch the news, they're listening to Hannity and Fox, and they get ensconced in this right-left paradigm and the war that's taking place, and they miss out on the bigger picture. And I hope that tonight's show frees people and enables them to see the bigger picture, because even though, yes, we should be involved in voting and elections, so on and so forth, we got to recognize the lateness of the hour in this country. And what?
Amen, Greg. With that,
so
we're at the top of the hour break.
Hour two.
Yep, right when we come back. Folks, CoachDave.tv, GregJackson.com, Greg with two G's, G-R-E-G-G. We'll be right back with both Greg and Coach Dave right after this. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.